for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Tuesday afternoon service of December the 27th, 1994, of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null is the speaker for the afternoon.
From the rest of the afternoon to Dr. Null to minister and teach as the Lord leads.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, we just come to you now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We just come to you, Lord. Ask you, Lord, to touch us, Lord God. Open our ears that we might hear, Lord. Open our eyes that we might see, Lord. Open our hearts that we might receive your word, Lord God. We might receive it down into our spirit, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just come to you as your children, Lord God. You said, Lord, that healing was a children's bread. Lord, we've come to you today to get fed, Lord, to get delivered and to get healed, Lord. For the Phoenician woman came to Jesus, and she asked for the healing and deliverance of her daughter. And Jesus called it the children's bread. Lord, we like that Phoenician woman, Lord. We just need a crumb, Lord. We don't need the whole loaf. Lord, just touch us now with your divine wisdom and understanding, Lord. For Jesus Christ is our sanctification, our redemption. Oh, Jesus, and you're the wisdom from God. Oh, Lord, just touch us, Lord God. Just touch us, Lord, with more of Jesus. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. When Glenn asked me if I would do the evening deliverance service, I came before God and I asked him what he wanted me to talk about. There's a lot of things that we can teach about, but I want to teach what he wants me to teach. I don't want to teach anything. I want him to teach. And I thought perhaps he'd been giving me a new teaching that I've been working on, and I thought perhaps that's what he wanted me to talk about. But he said, no, I want you to stay with the basics. When Jesus called me to teach a prayer group about 10 years ago, and we were listening to Derek Prince tapes, and I was commenting on his tapes, and one of the ladies said, Doc, said we get more out of it when you comment than listening to the tapes. Why don't you just teach us? And I said, what do you want me to teach you about? And they said, we want you to teach us about spiritual warfare. And I said, well, so I asked God, what did he want me to do about spiritual warfare? And I thought perhaps there was a technique someplace that I could get a book and that I could learn the perfect technique for casting out demons. And I've been searching for that book. And I've been searching for several years and I hadn't been able to quite find it. And I walked into a service one night and I had a visiting evangelist at this church, and I just sort of walked in. I thought I would sneak in and sit on the back row. And I sat down, and he stopped preaching and looked at me and pointed me out as I was trying to sneak into my seat. And he said to me, the Lord says to you that I have a book for you. I have a book for you to read and to learn and to memorize. That book is called My Word. And when you learn it, then you'll be able to walk in the anointing that I have called you for. And then the man went on back to his sermon. And I remembered that, and I said, Lord, where you want me to start? And he said, start at the beginning. And I said, start at the beginning. And I remember that Derek Prince said that whenever you see the word in the beginning, they're talking about Genesis. And so I went back to Genesis. And in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he created a man. He molded him. And he got down on his hands and his knees. And he breathed the breath of life into him. And that clay became a living soul, became a man. And then he created a woman to be with the man. And they were in perfect communion with God. And they lived in a perfect place where there was no sin, no iniquity. And they communed with God. And then the enemy came in and seduced them, and they fell. And the enemy claimed dominion over what had been given to Adam. And Romans says, through one man, sin entered the world. And since then, we've been involved in warfare. That's when warfare came in. And we stayed in warfare, and we stayed under the dominion of the enemy and law until Jesus Christ came. And when Jesus came, he delivered us from the world and he delivered us from the power of the enemy. People, if you know who you are in Jesus Christ, you can stand against the enemy. And that is the basis for all spiritual warfare, is knowing who you are in Jesus Christ. Who are you in Jesus Christ? You're a child of God. Look at Romans 7:4. It says, therefore, my brethren, we also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. So we're married to Jesus Christ. But you go back up here and you'll say, well, don't you know, brother, to verse 1, I speak to those who know the law that he has dominion over man as long as he lives. For a woman who has a husband is bound by the law to a husband so long as she lives. But if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. So while her husband lives, she's married to another man, she'll be called an adulteress. But if the husband dies, she's freed from the law, she'll be no adulteress, she's married to another. Therefore, brothers, because of that, you become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead. So you were married to the flesh. It says here in verse 5, so when you were in the flesh, the passions of sin were roused by the law and were working your members to bear fruit to death. But since your old man, your sinful nature, was crucified with Christ and is dead, you can now be married to Christ to bear fruit to God. You are married. You have been married to the flesh until you got saved. And the law had dominion over you and aroused the lust of sin in your body. And you were a slave to it. But when you got saved, you died to that. And you became married to Jesus. And Jesus has dominion in your life. And if you walk in the Spirit of God, that has been rendered inoperative. It doesn't have to operate in your life anymore. And you can stand against it. Romans 10 says, Christ was the end, 10, 4 and 5, said, Christ was the end of the law for righteousness. Before Jesus Christ, you had to keep the law, and you had to keep it perfectly. In every point, you could never mess up, and nobody could keep it. The law was given to you to show you that you could not be righteous. There was no flesh justified by the law. If it was, then Jesus died in vain. Paul said if you could attain righteousness through the law, there was no reason for Jesus to die. You couldn't obtain righteousness that way. Praise you, Lord Jesus. But Jesus was the end of the law for righteousness. In Romans 5:17, it says, "For through one man's offense, death reigned through the one," that's Adam, "through one man's offense, death came into the world, sin into the world. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ." That's the exchange made at the cross, that Jesus took the death that we are righteous of, that we have earned, and He gave us in place of it the gift of righteousness. Our righteousness is imputed through Jesus Christ and not through keeping of the law. Well, where is the law today then? It's still part of the Word of God. The Bible said it is righteous and perfect. Just you can't keep it. Or can you? Just look at Romans 8. It says here, "Therefore now there is no condemnation for those who in Christ Jesus do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh, Jesus, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of Him, be condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is peace and life." You say, well, what is the law today? The law is part of the Word of God. It reveals the will of God. It is part for you to meditate on. And it's something more than that. Let's look back in Exodus 15 and see what it says about the keeping of the commandments. Exodus 15, verse 26. It says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight and give ear to His statutes, His commandments, and keep all of His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." What does that mean? That means that if you walk according to God's statutes, sickness won't come on you. That's what it says. Let's look over at Deuteronomy 8. Let's look at Deuteronomy 8, 12 to 15. "And it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments, keep and do them, the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which He sworn to your fathers. And He will love you and bless you and multiply you and bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your land and your grain and your new wine and the oil and the increase of your cattle and of the offspring of your flocks and the land which He swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all people. There should not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness." Now, he doesn't say He's going to heal you there. He says He's going to walk in divine health. Amen. Now, folks, it's one thing to get healed. It's another thing not to get sick. Amen. If I had to pick the two of them, I think I'd pick the second one. "And afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on those who hate you." Praise you, Jesus. Now, that is the Word of God. That's the Word of God. Now, Jesus put an end to the sacrificial system. If you can look that up in Hebrews 9, 12, and 6 to 26. It says, "By one sacrifice, He ended the sacrificial system. It was no longer necessary to offer sacrifices every day. The sacrifices have to be done over and over again. And so we don't burn lambs anymore. We don't have a brazen altar where we burn the flesh and pour the blood out. For the blood, the perfect blood of Jesus Christ, has been poured out for our sins." Well, you say that some people will tell you that the law does not apply anymore. Well, I disagree with them, but I want you to see
what happened in Acts 15. Let's turn to Acts 15. Now, all of you who are familiar with this story know that when Paul and Barnabas came back from the first missionary journey, they got back and they found that a number of converted Pharisees had come up to Antioch, and they told all these people, all these non-Hebrew believers that come in out of the heathen, and said, for you to be saved, you've got to be circumcised first, and you've got to keep the law with all its dietary requirements and come down to Jerusalem and offer the sacrifices on the altar. And Paul and Barnabas sort of stood against them. It says here in verse 2, therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them. I mean, that sounded like a foot stomping, yelling type of confrontation to me.
I imagine Paul was able to.
So they went down to Jerusalem. And they praised God all the way. And so when they got there, they gathered all the Jews in Jerusalem and they had a meeting. The historians estimate there were 25,000 believers in Jerusalem at that time, and they all gathered together. And first, Peter got up and said, you know, that God called me first to go to the heathen, to the non-Hebrew people. And then Paul and Barnabas got up and they talked about all the things that had happened on their first missionary journey. And then they prayed and James got the prophecy. And the prophecy came from Amos. Because after this, I will return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will set up its ruins. And so the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. And all the Gentiles who call by my name. And so he said, let's drop down to, you can read what he says in verse 20 and again in 29. And I like verse 28 and 29. This was the letter they sent. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit to lay on us no greater burden than these necessary things. That you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you do well, if you do these things, you shall keep well. And what they said was there, the portion of the law that still applied was idolatry. That's one of the things Paul says to flee from. Idolatry. Second was sexual immorality. Now, the word there they use is porneo, which means both sexual immorality and idolatry. God considers idolatry a type of spiritual fornication. And God considers it His body, that your body belongs to Him. And He says that when you engage in fornication, you are taking His body and you are worshiping the devil with his body. And he considers sexual immorality a type of idolatry. The third thing is blood. And he has always, since they got off the ark, said you're not supposed to eat the blood. That's another teaching. I believe the soul is in the blood. But that's another teaching. And people ask me how I feel about blood transfusion. And I say, Lord, I don't want one. I don't want one. I don't think that you'll lose your salvation if you take one. But you don't know what you're going to pick up. If you think you've got surgery coming up, my advice to you is to order auto-donate. If you have to have surgery, then auto-donate. And if you should have blood transfusion from someone else, then you need to gather your friends around, your Christian friends around you, and break any curses over that blood and speak to that blood and curse it and curse any demons that may have come in or any curses that may have come in from that in the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't think that it will damn your soul like Jehovah's Witnesses, but I still think that blood transfusions are not the best thing to engage in. The main thing that I've talked about today is I want you to realize that Jesus Christ is your healer, that He gave you the Word of God,
as a guide to walk by, to check as a check on you, to check your revelation from the Holy Spirit, because I can assure you that the Holy Spirit wrote this book. And any revelation that you get from the Holy Spirit, if it does not agree in both word and spirit with this written word, it is not right. You've misinterpreted, you've misheard, or you have a foreign spirit speaking to you. God will not contradict or lay aside the Word of God. You say, well, will I lose my righteousness violating the old Jewish dietary laws? Well, your righteousness is in Jesus Christ, but you can sure lose your health. In case you're interested, there's a very excellent study done comparing the dietary laws as laid down in Leviticus and the dietary laws laid down by present-day cardiologists and cancer experts and nutritionists. I gave a talk to them on this once. We were having a series of talks on being healthy, and they asked me if I was. They ran out of speakers, is what they did. They had a cancellation. They couldn't find anybody, and so they asked me if I would fill in. To all these health professionals. And I said, oh, well, yes, I'm available. I'll do that for you. When is it? He says, next week. Well, I think I can get something together. And so I talked to them about the dietary laws. And I tell you, they all looked at me, and their eyes were about this big, you know. When I got through comparing God's dietary laws to the law, to the rules set down for someone who's had a heart attack or someone who's had cancer or someone who's or a healthy, quote, healthy diet, you will find it him. You see, God was there 3,500 years ago. 3,500 years ago, world's finally caught up with him. There's a lot more. You will find that this is the truth. And if your experience does not agree with this, there's something wrong with your experience.
Amen.
This is the truth. That's the one. I thank God every day for an Episcopal priest who I think more out of devilment than anything else. He just wanted to bug me. He gave me a copy of Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life. And here, Bill, you'll enjoy this. Read it. And man, I read the first 20 pages and my head was spinning. And I said, no book is going to get the best of me like this. And so I began to pray. I said, God, show it to me. And what I came out with was like Colonel Speed Wilson. I didn't know many normal Christians. But the one thing that I understood from it was that the Word of God was true. That's what it taught me. It taught me that the Word of God was true. That it was true, up to date, and you could believe it. And if it said so in the Bible, it was true. And if the world didn't agree with you, there was something wrong with the world. And if your experience didn't agree with it, there was something wrong with your experience. And I remember the when I was in college in the 40s, they talked about the Hittites. And they said that that's one of the things that they held up. They said there were no Hittites. Archaeology had never discovered any Hittites. And that was one of the reasons the Bible was wrong. It talked about all these Hittite kingdoms. And there were no Hittite kingdoms. Do you know that there's a chair at the University of Chicago now that is dedicated to studying the Hittite kingdoms? I mean, they have found that the Hittite kingdoms were a huge thing. And everything that the Word of God said was true. Can you imagine that? And I said, well, God has been there 3,500 years ago. He was there. And science is just looking in the tracks. And if you look, you'll see that God has been there before science. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so you have to understand that
you want to, in spiritual warfare, there's some things you've got to do. First, you've got to know who you are in Jesus Christ. You're married to Christ.
Amen.
Galatians tells you that there were two Jerusalems. There was a Jerusalem over there, which is of Hagar in bondage, the mother of the world. And there's the Jerusalem above, which is the body of Christ, who is your mother. She is your mother. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so you have to know who you are. God is your father. The heavenly Jerusalem is your mother. And Jesus is your brother, your big brother, who redeems you by the principle of the gold. He redeems you from the hand of the enemy with his precious blood. And all your sins are forgiven. That you stand righteous before God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9 says, much more now we have been justified by his blood. That means made righteous and saved from the wrath to come. Thank you, Lord, that you've been sanctified and made holy by Jesus Christ. And that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you're not your own, you were bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are God's. And so when you come into this realization, and then you say, Lord, I want to be set free. And God says, fine, fine. But there's some things I want to talk to you about. There's some areas that you need to look at. And we're going to spend about 15 or 20 minutes looking on a brief overview on some of the things that God wants you to think about. He wants you to look at. To get right with, so he can set you free, so he can work in your life, so he can, you can speak to the enemy, and the enemy doesn't have any legal grounds. Because when you have walked out from under the covenant promises of God, you've given the enemy legal grounds in your life to harass you. In some cases, it's been your ancestors. I heard came in yesterday and Brother Glenn was talking about incest. Incest bears a curse that goes back 10 generations. Illegitimacy bears a curse that goes back 10 generations. How many of you know what your blood kin was doing 400 years ago? A 1,056 ancestors from you back. Nobody knows. How many of you ever worshiped money like I did? Ever thought that, you don't know how you know where you worship for money or not? You think just $20 more is going to solve your problems. If I can just make another $50, I won't have any problems. How many times you ever said that? If I can just make another $50, all my problems will disappear. You're worshiping money. You know, you can't worship mammon. Mammon is in Greek means that which you put your trust in. You can't worship money and worship God. Either God is going to solve your problems. Money's not. I tell you, I chase that dollar bill for... Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. 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 That is a hard God. That dollar bill is a hard God. Greed is a hard God. Greed's mouth is never full. It's like death. Its mouth's never full. And you will never get your problems settled if you're chasing the almighty dollar bill. I mean, you ever worship social prestige? Standing in the community. How many of you worship power over other people? Won't be able to make people do what you say do. Snap your finger and watch them jump. That's witchcraft. Praise the Lord Jesus. And so God says there's some things that you got to do. First, you got to be honest before God. You know, God already knows your heart. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Let's look in Hebrews, please. I've sort of run off on some rabbit trails. And I've gotten away from my written text a little bit. If I go back written text, we'll be here at 6 o'clock. So let's look at Hebrews first. Hebrews chapter 4. We'll start with verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight. And all things are naked and open to the eyes of whom we must give account. Jesus knows everything. He is the wisdom of God. He knows everything. God knows everything. You can't hide from him. So you need to be honest, because he already knows anyway. A lot of people are afraid they're going to embarrass God. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to embarrass me, because I've heard it all before, and God, you're not going to embarrass God because God knows it anyway. But you need to confess your sins and get them out in the open. God loves an honest heart. The other is your reasons for wanting to get delivered. Let's look at Isaiah 43:7. In Isaiah 43:7, it says, "Everyone who is called by my name, who I have created for my glory." You were created for the glory of God, to bear glory to God. Not for yourself, but for God. You were created to be obedient to God. In Luke 11:28, there were a group of people who were... Jesus was passing a group of people, and this woman called out, and she said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the paps that nursed you." And Jesus said, "Yea, and more blessed is he who hears the word of God and does it." You keep the word of God, you're more blessed. Jesus says you're more blessed than his mother. Be obedient to the word of God. I also give you Matthew 7:21 and Matthew 12:50, but we won't look at them. I'm going to tell you, people. And lastly, you should bear fruit to God. What kind of fruit are you going to bear? Well, let's look at Galatians 5:22. If you want to know if your actions, what kind of fruit your actions are going to bear, you should look at this list in 5:22. I love to read it. I always start up at on verse 19. "The works of the flesh are evident: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, hatred, sorcery, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, righteous, selfish ambition, dissensions and heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelry, and the like." Now those are all works of the flesh. And I look at that and I cast out demons by those names all the time. Now what happens is, when you yield to your flesh an outburst of wrath, and you continue to do that, you open yourself. The first time you do it, you open yourself to the enemy. Now, he might not come in that first time, but you continually do that, you're giving him legal grounds, and he will come in. That demon will come in, and suddenly you find that you have no control over that outburst of wrath. And lots of people will find that when they yield to it, that you scare people so bad, and they go off in this horrible tangent, and people get scared and move away from them. They find they can manipulate people that way. And so they do that whenever they get pressed into a tight corner. And they become reluctant to give that up because they depend on it. I had a young man in the church who did that. He was sort of homely and sort of awkward, and the other kids used to tease him. And, sometimes kids can be very cruel. And this kid would react this way, and he would have these horrible outbursts of rash, and it became demonic because he didn't know what he was doing. I saw three big men try to hold this little kid down. He threw them around like they were little dogs. But you could not deliver that boy from that because he wanted it there. He used it. He yielded to it. He turned 18. I said, I ain't talked to him. And I said, "You're 18 years old now. The next time you do that," I said, "you're very fortunate that 14-year-old child that you jumped on's mother did not turn you over to the police. Because if they do, you will go to jail for assault." His mouth got big, I said, you continue to yield to this thing, and the society will extract a purchase from you, a price from you, and you're going to get mad at God because he didn't deliver you. The truth is you don't want to be delivered because you keep yielding to it. And he did eventually put some time in. He eventually did some hard time because he continued to use that thing to get his way. You can't deliver somebody that don't want to be delivered. Because they can let it right back in. Now, Paul delivered the woman with the divination spirit, and I don't think she wanted to be delivered. But then Paul had a special anointing, and we don't know what happened to her. She probably went off and got another one. We had a lady once that, I had to be very careful with this on tape, but we had this lady once who was associated with us who turned out to be a practicing witch. And she set a curse upon my family and left an anchor in the house. I knew something was wrong, and so I called this seer in the spirit, Joe Williams, and Joe prayed, and Joe saw it. He described the lady to me, described the object that she left in the house, the anchor, and then he bound these spirits, these witchcraft spirits, and commanded them to leave her. And the next night, on the stroke of midnight, she called me on the telephone on my unlisted number. And cursed me out and wanted to know what I meant getting some witch to put a curse on her and take her power away from her. She had gone to a reader, familiar spirits. We had a familiar spirit who told her, and she said that, you know, the reader had reinvested her. In short, she'd picked up some old witchcraft spirits. And my answer to her was, Mrs., God bless you. May the Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, continually bless you. And I want you to know I'm going to pray for you every day. And she slammed the phone down. And I did. By praying for her, I lifted the shield. And any curses that she sent forth sort of hit that shield and came back on her. You've got to understand the demons hate all people, even hate her. The devil makes those demons be submissive to her. But for any excuse, they will go back and torment her. That's the reason these people, I've known a number of them, they've always been in an insane asylum once or twice. They've all had cancer. And they've all have all kind of demonic problems. The devil doesn't treat his people very well. He keeps them in bondage. You know? So, praise your Lord Jesus. So you have to be obedient to God and bear fruit to God. Next, you need to humble yourself before God. Proverbs 6:16 says God hates the first thing he hates. First, there's six things, yea, seven, that are an abomination to him. Six things God dislikes, yea, seven are an abomination to him. The first thing it says is a proud look and a lying tongue. A proud look. God, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Proverbs 6:16 says, in Proverbs 3:23 says, God gives grace to the humble, but the proud he puts far off. I've forgotten which translation. That's the one I've always liked the best. That he gives grace to the humble, but the proud he puts far off. Now, if you look at James 4:6-10, let's read that. Because this is a frequently quoted verse in spiritual warfare. Let's look at James 4:10. Actually, look at 4, to start with 4:6, I'm sorry. God resists the proud. That word resist there in the Greek is a military term. It means to stand in full battle array against. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You always hear people say, resist the devil and he will flee. And Brother Jack tells the story of the man said, I said, I resisted the devil, and Brother Jack, he ate me up. But you didn't get that first part. Submit to God. And if you just go back up a little bit more, it says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. You want to resist the devil, you've got to start with humility. This verse has always meant a great deal to me. Once early in my ministry, the pastor asked me if I would. There was a group that was having a praise, a private praise session in a basement. And the pastor asked me if I would go over and give elder oversight. I wasn't an elder in the church, but he asked me if I would go anyway and give elder oversight for this group, because he was worried because he had some sheep there and he didn't have time to go himself. And so I went over, and these people were dancing around and singing and jumping around and and I sort of sat down. There was something wrong. I didn't know what it was, but I just sat there for a few minutes, and God said, "Read James 4:4. And it started, and so here I am. They're all singing, and I signaled to the praise leader that I want to read a verse. I sat down first. I prayed about it real hard, and I looked at it, and I prayed some more. And after a few minutes, I just didn't get any relief from it, so I stood up and said, "I got a verse for you." And what I said to them was, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you know that friendship with God is enmity with the world? Therefore, anybody who wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. But don't you know what Scripture says? In vain the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he will lift you up." That's what I read to this praise group who were jumping around singing and hollering and praising God. And they all looked at me like, the place got real quiet. And I said, "If you people don't get out and repent, the only spirit you're going to work up here is your flesh." And I got out on my knees and began to pray. And the praise, not the praise leader, but one of the guitarists, was her house. Hit a chord. And she said, "The only thing I want to hear is lamenting and repenting." And she got down beside me. And God sent a spirit of repentance into that place. And people began to weep before God and cry. And after about, I don't know how long, I got up and began to lead a chorus. And any of y'all ever heard me sing, you know. And people began to sing with me. This lady in the back of the room began to scream, my God, he's healed me." And she'd had a laryngectomy 10 years before for cancer of the larynx, and God had put a new larynx in her. I mean, he had restored her larynx. She had a hole in here that she breathed through, and God had closed the hole and put a whole new larynx in her. And people began to scream and holler and shout and praise. And this girl came up and said, "I need to talk to you." I said, "Well, talk." She said, "I can't talk to you here. I need to, it's personal and private." "We'll go upstairs." "I can't talk to you up here either. Somebody might hear me." So we went out. It was 10 degrees. Went outside and sat in the car. As she began to confess this adulterous relationship she had with a married man. She was 20 and he was 60, and she couldn't get free of it. And so, after she confessed, I prayed for her and I broke the soul ties and looked at, and there were 6 people standing in line at the car in 10-degree weather. But anyway, after, I don't know how long, we all went back inside and began to praise God. And the prayer meeting lasted until about 2 a.m., and then I told the praise leader I wouldn't let the man who was leading praise lead praise anymore. I said, and that she should do it herself. The girl who hit the chord. The other man had all kind of demonic problems. I just said, I just wouldn't do that anymore. Well, the praise then, he got offended and he took the praise over to somebody else's house. And I went over there and told her the same thing. And she told me she was fully capable of discerning spirits. She fell away, but they fed that group. I don't know. They just sort of scattered after that. But that verse means so much to me, to repent. You need to humble yourself before God and you need to repent of your sins. No prophet of God ever had any message but to repent. That Jesus came into this world saying, repent and believe the good news. That's in Mark chapter 1. He said, and that John was placed in jail and Jesus came forth saying, repent and believe the good news, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Paul came saying, repent. Peter came saying, repent. A prophet only has one message to the people, and that's to repent. You need to repent of your sins, people. Irma says that if we had more old-fashioned repentance, we'd have less need for deliverance services.
Amen.
And that's absolutely true. If you can get people to truly repent. Now, you have to understand, repentance is a spirit from God. You can't repent when you want to. God will convict you. And when you get convicted of your sins, you need to repent. Now, what does repent mean? I had a young lady that parents were both spirit-filled Christians. She was saved and spirit-filled, but she'd fallen away and gotten involved with some bad company. And you know, bad company corrupts good manners. And then she was drinking and she was smoking and she was carousing at night. And the Holy Spirit had convicted her and she was crying at school. They brought her over and I prayed for her. And then she was going to a counselor and she was doing this and she was doing that. And she came in to see me one day and I told her, I said, you know what you need to do is you need to repent. And she said, well, she said, you really think so? I said, do you know what repentance means? And she said, well, it means to be sorry. I said, no. It doesn't mean. I said, worldly sorrow leads to death. Godly sorrow leads to repentance, brings repentance, which leads to life. And she said, what does it mean then? I said, number one, in the Hebrew, meaning the Greek, which is a language of the mind, it means to decide that what you're doing is wrong. That's all it means. It means just to decide that what you're doing is wrong. And God will convict you that it's wrong. I said, your conscience is convicting you. You know what you're doing is wrong. Yeah, that's right. And in the Hebrew, it means to turn around and walk away from it and not do it anymore. She said, is that what repentance really means? I said, that's what it really means. It means that you will turn around and walk away and not do it anymore. And a spirit, when God gives you a spirit of repentance, He gives you the grace to stand against it. Doesn't mean you won't be tempted. Doesn't mean it won't be hard. But it means that you're going to have to change a little bit. You're going to have to let the friends who are tempting you, the boyfriend that you've got who's drinking and taking you out carousing and smoking and seduced you into this, you're going to have to turn him loose and let him go. And she wept. And she asked me if I would pray for her. My office nurse got very upset. It took 45 minutes. But you know, God gave her a spirit of repentance and she was able to turn and walk away from that thing. And the psychiatrist called me and said, what did you do to her? Now, he's a good Christian Baptist psychiatrist. Good Baptist man who believes, and he thought he was going to have to send her down to AA. And he said, what did you do to her? Because she's changed. She's not depressed anymore. And she wants to stop. I said, God has granted her a spirit of repentance. He said, explain that to me. And so I did. And he said, praise God. It's because God has done more than I've been able to do in 6 months. But you must repent, and God will give it to you if you come to Him with an honest heart and say, Lord, you need to confess your hurts and your unforgiveness because they've blocked deliverance. You got unforgiveness in your heart. I'm not saying pain. I'm saying that when you make up your mind, forgiveness is an act of your will. And when you say, I will not forgive him, I will never forgive him. I've had people say, I will never forget. I'll never forgive myself. You know, you're cursing yourself when you say that. You say, I will never forgive him. You're making a statement that's placing a curse on your life. And you have to renounce that curse and break that witchcraft hold on your mind. Because if you've made that statement, that witchcraft demon will sit up in there and will bring it back and play it just over and over and over and over. It sounds like a tape recorder going off, just over and over. Remember what he did? Remember what he did? Yeah, he did that. Yeah, he did that to me. He did that to me. And he always in the first person, never in the third person. The devil doesn't sit there and say, he did it to you. He said, he did it to me. And you think you're thinking it yourself. It's the devil playing it over and over and over. And bringing up that rage and that anger. And anger comes in and you feel that bubbling in your soul because you've cursed yourself. Now, if you don't forgive, you're separated from God. Because God won't forgive your sins. That says that three places. In all three synoptic gospels. And furthermore, in Matthew 18, it says he's going to turn you over to the tormentors. Now, the New American Standard says the torturers, and the New International says they're going to put you in jail. Anyway, it's not a very good place to be. Not a very good place to be. So you have to forgive. How do you forgive? You forgive the people who hurt you as an act of your will, and you begin to pray for them. Matthew 4 says, pray for those who have hurt you. Let's look at that. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Matthew 5. Let's look at Matthew 5:43 and following. You have heard it said that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you that you should love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. You want to be free? Just sit down and pray for that person every day and say, God bless them and bring them to salvation. That's all you got to do. Say, God bless them and bring them to salvation. Just bless them. Bring them to salvation. If God brings tribulation in their life, don't find yourself gloating over it, because it offends God if you gloat when your enemies have tribulation. God says, pray for them. Pray for your enemies. I can show you in Scripture where it says God gets upset with you. The third thing is, if you've been involved in the occult or in sexual sin. If you've been involved in the occult, God considers that spiritual adultery. I've already said he considers that he is married to you, that you are married to Jesus Christ. And if you go to someone else to have your needs met, to some foreign god, God says this is fornication. And if you actually go out and fornicate, he said, this is idolatry. Why do you think all pagan worship is based on sexual immorality? Why do you think that all devil worship ends with intercourse on the altar? Because it's an abomination to God. That's why. And they always drink blood. They kill some poor little animal. Go out and drain the blood out of somebody's cow. They will go out there and they will hypnotize that cow and stick a needle in them and drain the blood out and cut the sex organs off of them and leave them alive. And they go out there and they can't find any drugs in the animal. They can't find how they killed him. Well, they just hypnotized him by demonic power. Hypnosis is a demon, people. Any of y'all ever been hypnotized? You ever been hypnotized by him for any reason? Never hypnotized anybody. If you did, you yielded yourself to a familiar spirit, to a foreign spirit. And he came into you, and he's probably still there. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Well, I have... Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, what we're going to do is we're going through a mass deliverance service. How many of y'all have ever been in a mass deliverance? How many have never been in a mass deliverance service? Anybody who's never been in one? Okay. A mass deliverance service. Demons live in your flesh. They don't live in your spirit. Your spirit belongs to Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is in your spirit. But demons can be in your flesh and they can oppress you. demons are air, and they come out through the breathing passages normally. Now, when I pray, first I'll lead you in a renunciation prayer, and then we'll call out some spirits. And keep both feet on the floor, and take a deep breath in and listen to what's been said. You'll hear me say lots of different spirits. Don't be cafeteria style. I think I got that one. I may have that one. I may have that one. No, I don't have that one. Just let them go. Just rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ. And if something happens, let it happen. If you're afraid that you're going to lose your dignity, don't worry about your dignity. If you have to choose between letting your dignity go and keeping your demons, or letting your demons go and losing your dignity, you can get your dignity back. Let your demons go. Let them go. Okay. Everybody stand up now. Let's praise God. It is said in the Scriptures, it's commonly said that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord God, and we give thanks to you, Lord, for your great glory. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's sit down now. Everybody put both feet on the floor now. Crossing your fingers is a witchcraft sign. Crossing your legs is also a witchcraft sign. So yes, just keep both feet on the floor. Okay. I'm going to lead you in a confession. That says, Dear Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for my sins, for your glorious resurrection, and making me a new creature in Christ by faith in your precious blood. Dear Lord, I have a confession to make. I have sought supernatural experience apart from you. I've disobeyed your word. I want you to help me renounce all these things and cleanse me in body, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. I renounce witchcraft and magic, both black and white. I renounce the Ouija board and all other occult games. I renounce all seances, clairvoyance, mediums, ESP, second sight and mind reading, thought projection, and all of the demonic skills. I renounce all fortune telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading, crystal balls, tarot, and other card laying. I renounce all astrology and interest in horoscopes. I renounce the heresy of incarnation and all healing groups involved in metaphysics. I renounce all hypnosis under any excuse or authority. I break any curse placed on me from any occult source in Jesus' name. I renounce all curiosity about either the past or the present or the future, which is outside your will. I renounce all water witching, levitation, body lifting, table tipping, psychometry. I renounce all astral projection and all of the demonic skills. I renounce all literature I've ever read in any of these fields. And devour to destroy such books or material in my possession are under my control. And people, you need to destroy all that stuff that it belongs to you. Now, if some belongs to someone else, you can't destroy somebody else's property. But if it's in your house, you need to get rid of it. Now, if your husband doesn't agree with you, then you need to pray over it and ask God to protect you from it.
Yes.
I've had cases where we've had believing wives, and the husband had witchcraft material because of his curiosity. And you just have to ask God to protect you from that and ask to bless your husband. Just ask to pray every night and ask God to bless him and protect him. Because it says an unbelieving husband is sanctified by the prayers of his wife. And so just pray for him and sanctify him and ask God to protect him and give him wisdom and understanding. And that will protect you from it.
I now break.
In the name of Jesus.
All psychic heredity.
Any demonic hold on my family line.
And result of disobedience.
Of any of my ancestors.
I break all bonds.
Of physical and mental illness.
In Jesus' name.
I break the curse.
Of physical or mental illness.
In Jesus' name.
I break all demonic subjugation
to my father and mother,
grandparents,
any other human being
living or dead.
In the name of Jesus.
I release them to you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
I break the soul ties now.
In the name of Jesus.
I renounce everything psychic or occultic.
Renounce every cult that denies the blood of Jesus.
Renounce every philosophy that denies the divinity of Jesus.
I call upon the Lord to set me free.
Lord, I have another confession to make.
I have not loved but resented certain people.
I call upon you, Lord.
Help me forgive them.
I do now forgive.
And just wait a few minutes, and whatever the Holy Spirit brings to your mind, you need to say, I now forgive. And whoever's name that God brings to memory, just I forgive John and Joe and anyone else he brings to mind. I do now.
Forgive myself.
In Jesus' name.
I renounce every spirit
that binds or torments me.
And I call upon the Lord
to set me free.
For it is written
in Joel
3:32,
anyone
who calls upon the name of the Lord
shall be delivered.
Set me free, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I bind all rejection in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. 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 All rejection in the name of Jesus. Rejection by brother. Rejection by father. Rejection by sister in the name of Jesus. Rejection by parents. Come on out, rejection. All rejection. All rejection. Rejection on the job. Rejection by girlfriend. Rejection by fiance. Rejection by wife. Come out. Out. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. All rejection. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose, rejection. Come on out. All fear. Fear. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of not being able to make it. All fear. Fear. Turn them loose now. All fear. Fear. Fear of not being able to get free. All witchcraft fear. Legion fear. Witchcraft fear. Fear of heights. Fear of spiders. Fear of the dark. Fear of water. All fear. Fear of being sick. Fear of dying. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. All fear. Fear, fear, in the name of Jesus Christ.
all fear, all pride, ego, and vanity, bind the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. All pride, ego, and vanity, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you, all ego, all pride, ego, vanity, and self-righteousness. All self-righteousness, come out in the name of Jesus. All self-righteousness, come on out, out, out. All Pentecostal self-righteousness, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We are better than they are. We've got the whole thing in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, all spirits of self-righteousness. We've got the full teaching of God. Come out, come out. Come on out, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose. Turn them loose now. Come on out. In the name of Jesus. All bitterness. All bitterness and unforgiveness. I speak to the root of bitterness and I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. The root of bitterness. The root of bitterness. Come on out. Bitterness in the name of Jesus. All bitterness. I put Jesus Christ in the bitter food. I speak to the spirit of rebellion that's come from bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to the spirit of rebellion and witchcraft, for witchcraft is a sin. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I speak to all stubbornness, for stubbornness is an iniquity as unto idolatry in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, all stubbornness, stubborn spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. All stubborn, contentious, proud, arrogant spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, come out, come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out, out. Out. I speak to you and I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to all lust in the name of Jesus. All spirits of lust in the name of Jesus. The lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out. All lust spirits in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of bondage. Bondage to the past now. Bondage to pain. Bondage to anger. I break all curses. I break all self-inflicted curses in the name of Jesus. And I bind the spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of the curse of bondage to the past now. Bondage to pain. Bondage to anger. Bondage to relationships in the name of Jesus Christ. I break all sexual bondage. All bondage to sexual spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. I break all spirits. I bind all spirits of perversion. All the perverse spirits in the name of Jesus. The angry spirits in the name of Jesus. The covenant-breaking spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. I break all, I bind all spirits of covenant-breakers in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All covenant-breakers. I bind the spirit of divorce, separation, and immolation in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, divorce, spirit of divorce, separation, and immolation in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I command you to leave God's people. Leave God's people now, all of you, in the name of Jesus. Go. 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 In the name of Jesus, I bind you, command you to leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. All bitterness, all anxiety in the name of Jesus. And I bind the witchcraft spirits. I bind all the spirits of the occult in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of Kundalima in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Out. I bind the spirit of Apollyon in the name of Jesus Christ, of destruction. Destruction of the marriage in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of Apollyon in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. All destroying spirits in the name of Jesus. Come on out. In the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of paranoia in the name of Jesus. All paranoid spirits. All spirits of schizophrenia and paranoia. And all, I break all the curses of mental illness in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, these are your children. They've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12 says, Jesus suffered without the gate that he might sanctify the people with his blood. They've been sanctified. I bind all you demons in the name of Jesus, and I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus. I come against all familiar spirits now. All familiar spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits that have come down through the family line that are familiar in the name of Jesus Christ. That would deceive you. All deceiving familiar spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn God's people loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus and I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. All of you, in the name of Jesus. I bind all infirmity spirits now. I bind the spirits of infirmity, spirits of headaches in the name of Jesus. I bind all headaches. All headaches. All spirits of encephalitis in the name of Jesus. All spirits of stroke. I bind the spirit of stroke in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak healing and restitution to God's people in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of stroke in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of mind-binding spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of amnesia in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of headache in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of brain damage in the name of Jesus Christ. Of anoxia in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you. Leave God's people now. Our spirit, I bind the spirits of blindness. Of blindness. In the name of Jesus. Of glaucoma. Of blindness. Of encephalitis. Go. In God's name. Go. Bind all the spirits of encephalitis in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of deafness and tinnitus in the name of Jesus. And labyrinthitis. I bind all ear problems in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of deafness in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. All tinnitus in the name of Jesus Christ. All labyrinthitis in the name of Jesus Christ. All vertigo in the name of Jesus. All dizziness in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Come against the spirit of sinusitis and hay fever. All hay fever. All allergies and hay fever in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I break the curse that gives you the legal rights to be there. And I say, be gone out of God's people. Leave them. Leave God's people in the name of Jesus. All hay fever, all sinuses in the name of Jesus Christ, all bronchitis, all asthma, all emphysema, I bind you in the name of Jesus. All you pulmonary spirits, leave God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. All you destroying spirits, be gone. Be gone. All pneumonia spirits, recurrent pneumonia, be gone in the name of Jesus. All of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, be gone. All spirits of laryngitis in the name of Jesus. All spirits of laryngitis in the name of Jesus, be gone. Tracheitis, bronchitis, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of esophagitis in the name of Jesus, of stomach ulcers in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all stomach ulcers, all reflux esophagitis, all hiatal hernias, all these spirits, I bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all Crohn's disease in the name of Jesus, all colitis in the name of Jesus, all duodenitis. I bind you and I say, be gone, all chronic diarrhea in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of hemorrhoids in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of hemorrhoids in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak and I say, be gone, hemorrhoids. I curse you to your roots and I say, drop in the name of Jesus. Drop, hemorrhoids, in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Be gone. I break the curse of pancreatitis and diabetes and high blood pressure in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of, and I bind the spirits of heart attack and congestive heart failure and myocarditis and arrhythmias in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind them. You spirits that call arrhythmias in the name of Jesus, be gone. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone. All you arrhythmia spirits, be gone. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I come against all cirrhosis of the liver. All bilious spirits in the name of Jesus. I come against all bitterness and anger and rage in the liver in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. I come against all cholecystitis in the name of Jesus. All gallbladder problems. Go. 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 All infection of the gallbladder in the name of Jesus. All gallstones. Be gone. Come against all urinary problems in the name of Jesus. All dysuria, all frequency, all enuresis. Be gone in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of enuresis off of your family line in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of enuresis in the name of Jesus Christ. Instead, be gone in the name of Jesus. Go. 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 I break all curses of incontinence in the name of Jesus. Of coughing and sneezing and being incontinent in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone. I speak healing and restitution, Lord. Lord, lift up the bladder, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lift it up. Thank you for it, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you for restitution, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I break all curses of cancer in the name of Jesus. Cancer of the colon in the name of Jesus. Cancer of the breast. Cancer of the uterus in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. All cancer of the colon. All spirits of cancer. Skin cancer. Brain cancer. Lung cancer. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I curse you to your roots. And I bind you. These are God's children. You've got no right to them. I break all curses and give you the legal right to be there. I bind you and I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go. I speak to the spirit of death. Death, I speak to you. And I bind you off of these people in the name of Jesus Christ. I command that the spirit of death leave in the name of Jesus Christ. For Jesus has quickened their mortal bodies. For if the Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he shall quicken your mortal body. In the name of Jesus Christ, be gone, death! Be gone, death! Be gone, death! In the name of Jesus, I break the curse. I break all the curses of death placed on these people in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken their mortal bodies. And they shall live. They shall live and not die. And praise the Lord. I shall live and not die. And live to praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Shall not die but live. Praise your Lord and praise His name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I come against diabetes in the name of Jesus. I bind diabetes. Command diabetes to be gone. I come against arthritis. I come against arthritis now. In the name of Jesus. Arthritis, I speak to you. You tormenting devil, you. I speak to you. I command you to leave God's people. Leave them in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave them in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn it loose in the name of Jesus. Turn it loose. Tear loose, devil. Tear loose in the name of Jesus. Praise your Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus. Send your angels now, Lord, and bind up all these loose spirits, Lord God. Lord, I just loosen the hornets from heaven to come forth now, Lord. Lord, you said you would send the hornets from heaven to drive out the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Jebusites. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Send the hornets in the name of Jesus. You said you'd send your angel before us, Lord God, to drive them out. Lord, you drive them out now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Set your people free. For Jesus is the deliverer. Set them free, Lord. I speak healing and restitution, Lord. For you said you would restore what the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm had eaten. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing and restitution to God's people. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to stand here, Lord, and I ask you now, Lord Jesus, to send the ministering spirits to minister and to restore their souls, Lord. Restore their mind, their will, and their emotion, Lord. Make them the child of God that you envisioned before the foundation of the earth, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, we praise you and we bless you, Lord. Fill them now, Lord God, with the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of counsel and might and knowledge and fear of the Lord. Just touch them with wisdom, Lord God. Give them more of Jesus, the wisdom of God, the strength of God. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Fill them full now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.